We're saving you a seat at the table. The Brown Roofing Melissa in the Morning Diner Tour. WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
I am very excited to welcome to the show Candy LaBelle, who is a second grade teacher right here in Derby at Irving Elementary School. And Candy, welcome to WICC, our Brown Roofing Melissa in the Morning Diner Tour. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm very excited to have you before you got to get to class. I'm so happy to have you. And how many years have you been teaching?
I'm in the finishing my 24th year right now.
Wow. And you've been with Derby the whole time?
Yeah, at Irving School, and actually in the same classroom for 17 years now.
Wow. Yeah. Do you ever, actually, I was not planning on asking you this, but you just brought up the classroom. How do you figure out the theming of your classroom? I've heard that's like a thing, especially for elementary school. How do you figure that out every year?
I'm going to be honest. I think it changes. It changes during the year, right? It depends on the student. So let's say I have my theme, even though my classroom setup at the beginning of the year is really like a circle and getting to know you, right?
Right.
And then let's say through the year I find out they love space or they love animals or they love something else. I might change things throughout the year. We change our bulletin boards, we change our stuff, and we kind of build around what they like. So I think the theme is more like what the kids want than what I want.
I love that. I think that's so fun. In second grade, and you've been in second grade the entire time.
I have been in second grade my entire career, yes. They don't let me go to third grade. I haven't graduated.
That's okay. I mean, I currently, ironically enough, and no, this wasn't planned, I have a second grader at home. Mm-hmm. And I think it might be one of the most precious age brackets that we've been through so far. We really like this phase of his life. What do you like about second grade?
I think that in kindergarten and first grade, you have a lot of, they still need like, oh, can you tie my shoe? And I'm upset and I'm sad and I'm not ready for school. And second grade is that grade where they understand what school is and they love the teacher and they still love learning. They haven't gotten to that fourth or fifth grade. Oh, I don't want to do this anymore. And in second grade also, they understand how to be a friend already, right? Mm. They learn that in kindergarten. And by second grade, it's really a sense of community and friendship. And it's where we take off as a reader, right? We know our sounds now, hopefully. We've learned our letters. We've learned our numbers. And now we're actually going to take that information and we are going to run with it. We're in the rocket and we're launching, right? So we become a fluent reader. We become fluent in our math facts. And so second grade is really where you see the rocket take off.
That's so cool. Mm-hmm. I love that imagery because you're so right. I think that's a perfect way of putting it. But you've been doing this for 24 years, so you probably have it down pat way more than most of us do. Candy is here, who is a second grade teacher right here in Derby. What do you think makes Derby schools special?
I think our superintendent and our board of education. I'm going to put this out there to teachers all over the state of Connecticut. In my phone, I have phone numbers for board of education members. I've been to their houses. Dr. Conway is accessible, and you could text him at 10 o'clock at night and say, I have a problem. Not just me, any teacher in Derby. Even when I don't agree with some decisions that they make, I know that I can go to a board meeting and I can voice those concerns and I can be heard. And I think that our Board of Education is very bipartisan in Derby. It doesn't matter if they're Republican or Democrat. They really work together. And if you go to a board meeting in Derby and you sit there, you're going to see that for yourself, that they're all hugging each other and getting along. And they really care about the children of Derby. And that's probably why I've stayed in Derby, because I know that the Board of Education and our superintendent care about Derby.
And you've put your children through Derby schools.
Mm-hmm. I made the decision when they were in kindergarten to bring them down to Derby because I wanted to kind of have that stay-at-home mom feel. And then we went, and when they were in the end of elementary school, COVID happened, and Dr. Conway made the decision long before anybody else that we were going to go back to school that following September. Mm-hmm. And he was going to keep us safe. And I believed in him. So I then kept them there in middle school because of that. And then, of course, they made friends and we're still here.
Can't separate them. Yeah. So now they're going through the high school here and they're doing well.
Mm-hmm.
So you were saying before, and I'm horrible at math. This is why I talk for a living, Candy. I got to be honest with you. But what has changed in 24 years in the classroom for you?
Well, I think that curriculum has changed. Of course, it changes regularly. I'm going to step outside the box to say, I get upset sometimes when I see people on social media criticize teachers and children's progress in the classroom. they have this concept that I'm deciding every day what I'm teaching for school, that somehow I have the power over that. I certainly don't have the power over that. I don't even decide what time of day I'm teaching math, let alone what math that I'm teaching. I don't decide how many minutes I'm teaching something in the classroom. Those decisions come far above my head. And now we've moved towards, and not Derby, the state of Connecticut, scripted curriculums, right? They've put out, oh, these are the group of curriculums that you can choose from. And those curriculums have a script, and I'm speaking a script. And the math curriculum has a script, and I'm speaking a script. So the decisions of what I'm teaching in my classroom and what time of day and how long I'm teaching come far above me. So I think that those are the changes, right? When I first started teaching, they would say, you know, they need to know these things by the end of the year. You figure it out, right?
You're like, thanks.
Yeah. And now we have scripted curriculum. So it's not the teachers deciding what's getting taught in the classroom.
I also feel that, so, you know, interestingly enough, I to your point earlier, Candy, I would say kindergarten and first grade are still kind of these building years. But this year has been really instrumental in, for me as a parent, behavior. And you start to see the divide, I would say, where you have kids that kind of come from a more maybe structured or disciplined household. My kid's in one of those versus not. And it's interesting, you know, first of all, my kid's second grade teacher is amazing. And she talks to us and she, and all that. But you realize too, that first of all, teachers have taken on way more roles than they ever have before. But they also can only do so much when it comes to things like, well, why don't we send kids to the principal's office, or what I'd say the environment in the classroom has become a bigger challenge for teachers, it seems like.
Well, of course, we're a PBIS school, which is a positive intervention behavior system. So currently, and that again is not a Derby policy, that's, you know, state of Connecticut has leaned toward that. So what that means is in the classroom, we're not consequence-based, we're behavior reward system-based. So you can earn rewards rather than have consequences. I think that I'm going to give both sides, and I'm not going to give my opinion which one I think is correct, okay?
So I knew we'd get along, Candy. That's how my show works. Okay. That's perfect. Look at you.
So we can look at it as the positive behavior intervention system. If you are in a lower urban economic district, I teach at Irving, which is on the side of town that is, right? And if you have students coming out of household with traumatic stress, struggling homes, maybe a single parent, many factors can come into facts, you know, like addiction issues or a parent in prison. You have a child who's maybe acting out, right? And a positive behavior intervention system can be the difference between making a relationship with that child, or I'm consequencing them and I no longer have a relationship with that child
because
I'm just one more person in their life that's making them feel unwanted, and their behavior is stemming from trauma, right? They're not coming into the classroom every day and saying, let me mess this place up. They're coming in and saying, I'm hurt and I'm angry and I'm sad. And these are the things that I'm going to do because of that. And a positive intervention system is meant for that child, right? Because we're going to figure out how we're going to help them. On the other side, if you have a parent whose child is not acting out, right? And your child's coming to school and they're doing the right thing every day. And then your child's coming home and saying, well, little Bobby's sitting next to me, flipped his chair today. And all the teacher did was say, you're not getting your sticker. Right. And then that parent saying, wow, you know, what's happening over there? Like, why is my kid having to put up with this? Right. And sure, I completely understand that. I completely understand where you're coming from. But then you have to, as a parent, say to yourself, especially in elementary school and primary grades, you have to be able to say to yourself, these are little human beings. Right. She's not, you know, training lions at the circus.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So we have to find some understanding. Do I know what's the right answer? I don't know. I'm not a psychologist. I'm a second grade teacher. I would learn how to teach reading and math.
Right.
But have I seen building relationships change children's lives? Of course I have. Have I seen it not for some? Of course I have.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I think in anything in life, Candy, there's no exact right answer in literally any facet of life. So I think it has become such a challenge for the teacher, you know, and even, you know, we were talking about in past diner tours, I should say diner stops rather, during this tour, the cell phone ban, for example, which I know at the elementary level, thankfully, we haven't gone there.
Yeah.
We're good, right? We don't even touch that right now. But I know a lot of middle and high school, I'd say teachers, if they don't have the bell-to-bell ban, for example, in place, they find that to be a huge challenge because there's only so much they can do to take a phone away or to tell kids, hey, you got to pay attention in class. It just has become a very different environment, it feels like, in the classroom, just in general.
Right. I can answer that as a parent. I have juniors in high school.
Right.
Derby High School didn't do the pocket things. I don't know.
The pouches.
Right. They didn't do that. Instead, they have a cubby thing at the front, and the kids put their phone in that. And as a parent, I prefer that because I'm going to be silly right now, but let's say there's an alien invasion. Let's say there's a nuclear war. Let's say there's whatever. I want my kid to be able to get their phone. Okay. Right. Do I want my kid to have their phone while they're teaching math? No, I don't want my child to have their phone while they're teaching math. But if there's a life-threatening emergency, an earthquake, I want my kid to not have to find somebody to open that pouch. I want them to have their phone. So I think Derby made a really good choice by saying, we're not going to put them in the pouches, but we're going to have this box in the front of the room, and you put your phone in the box, and you get it back after. Does my kid text me at lunchtime or in the hallway? Absolutely. My kids have basketball. My kids have after-school things. My kids are going to reach out to me. I've reached out to them, and I'm a teacher, and said, hey, is practice changing? Did coach whatever? The weather's whatever? So I want my kid to have their phone at lunch and in the hallway. I want to be able to talk to them if something's going on, and especially with the mental health crisis, I'm their number one. So if my kid's having a bad day and he goes in the bathroom and texts me, good. But I don't want him texting me during math.
Right. There's a balance.
Yeah.
There's a balance there. I'm just really I love, I have to say, Candy, I know that I'm sure this wasn't your first pick to go. You're like, listen, this wasn't on my bingo card to go be on the radio, but I honestly enjoy so much talking to the people who are in these classrooms, shaping and molding the minds of our future. Mm-hmm. And you've been doing it for 24 years, going on 25 next year. So what are we doing for 25? Anything exciting?
Finally making top step in Derby. Can I say that?
Wait, what is that? What does that mean?
Well, there's 15 steps, and it took me 25 years to get there. So because I'm in a town that has budget crises and, you know, financial crises, lots of times you get frozen, so it takes a long time to get 15 steps. It took 25 years to go 15.
Wow. Goes. There you go. Wow. That's so cool. Wow. There you go. You should at least have, like, all year next year, one balloon or something in your classroom. Just leave something to be like, yeah, it's 25. I don't know.
Tell Dr. Conway when he gets it.
I will. 9 o'clock, he will be here, and I'll say, we have balloons set up, right?
For LaBelle.
For LaBelle. That's what I'm going to ask. I got you. We need to, you know, have bells on all next year for LaBelle. See? Bells for LaBelle. I'm here for you. It's interesting you bring up funding. Again, Candy is a second grade teacher at Irving Elementary School. Talk about the lack of funding for field trips and special programs that you're seeing.
So I think that I have a big concern for all Title I districts, right? What we notice with our kids is background knowledge, right? A parent in Westport will, in more affluent Fairfield County, they're taking their child to the zoo, they're taking them to the ocean, they're taking them on a trip to Florida, they're taking them wherever, right? And they're gaining this background knowledge. So let's say that you have a conversation in the classroom with a book about tide pools, right? And you say, okay, well, who's been to the beach and who's seen a starfish and whatever? If you are in Westport or Weston or one of those places, every kid's going to raise their hand and say, I've been to the beach, I've whatever, I've gone to Maritime Aquarium, I've this and that, right? But if you come into my classroom and you ask that same question, maybe you're going to get three kids, right, that have
said,
wow, I've been to the aquarium, or I've been to a museum, or I've gone on a trip somewhere, right? To them, a trip is Bridgeport, right? Maybe they've gone to Seaside, if they're lucky. Many of them don't have cars. We have the walking school bus at Irving Elementary School. I don't know if you know what that is, but I'm one of the people that go on it. We go out in the neighborhood every morning, and we walk and pick up kids, right? Because we have parents that struggle to get them out of the house. So the only way we can build their cultural background knowledge is by bringing either programs in or field trips out, right? Like if the Maritime Aquarium comes with their touch tanks, or Yishin comes and does, you know, Cinderella with the ballet, or we have the Shakespeare Theater. We haven't had those, not at all this year, and not much last year, because the money has to come from somewhere for those things. It comes from the state, or it comes from somebody writing a grant. Without that money, those things aren't happening. So now we're putting these kids at another deficit, right? Where they're losing that background knowledge that they're not going to get somewhere else. So I think it's so important that the state of Connecticut, not Derby, the state of Connecticut needs to put more effort into making sure that our Title I schools are getting cultural experiences, whether that's putting them on a bus and taking them out. The price of gas right now, it costs $500 to take the bus somewhere. That's right. $500 out the door. You want to go to Common Ground in New Haven and take them on a hike and see a farm, that's $25 a kid.
Yeah.
You have 20 kids in classroom. where's that money coming from? You're begging parents who are already
financially stressed
in a Title I district. So yeah. I think that we need to do something about that.
And I know I've talked to so many teachers about, for them, it's obviously a fantastic opportunity for them to teach in that kind of environment. For the kids, though, I mean, those are sometimes the most standout situations in their entire childhood. I mean, mm-hmm. I you know, was born in Stanford, grew up in Fairfield, but I can tell you, and I enjoyed school, the most standout moments were those out-of-the-classroom experiences. Absolutely. Yep. I could tell you, you know, five field trips right off the top my head, but I couldn't tell you, you know, about most of my childhood, but that does stand out. Right. It makes a difference.
I'm guessing you have a car, right?
I do.
And yes. You have a child, and I'm guessing you've taken them for a pumpkin or an apple before because you live in Connecticut.
Yes.
Guess what? Many of the people that live in my neighborhood at Irving Elementary School don't have a car. They haven't gone to get a pumpkin or an apple. So unless they're going on a field trip to get a pumpkin or an apple, they're not having that same experience that your child's having. And then when we read books about pumpkins or apples, your child is going to say, oh, I've gone and picked an apple. I've gone to the orchard. And the kids in my classroom are going to say, no, the only apples I get are at ShopRite.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. I mean, is there a better opportunity, or is it about the same funding to bring programs in? Is that like a better alternative? I mean, it's obviously it's always ideal to get out of the classroom, right? But is there a better option or more affordable option of bringing in or working with the Department of Ag? I don't know. I'm just kind of spitballing here.
I believe the New Haven Arts Council, we've worked with them before. I do believe that they have some affordable options that you can bring programs in, like the Shakespeare Theater, Poetry in Motion, which is like a rap through the Black cultural music through history. Mm-hmm. And we have had those programs in the past, but I think it was grant money that paid for that.
Really?
So you also need to have somebody in your school who's is going to write grants.
Yeah. Wow. That's unbelievable.
Or your district.
Yeah. That's unbelievable.
Yep.
I also want to, I know we talked kind of about curriculum, you know, before and everything, but is there anything in particular we didn't touch on earlier? I know you were saying that sometimes parents, especially, but people on social media don't have that narrative correct. And when it comes to curriculum and everything and how much time teachers do put in, but also kind of the, I don't want to say restraints, but there are things that you can and cannot do with curriculum.
Well, I think, well, like I said, we have a strict curriculum, but I think this applies across the state of Connecticut again. Budget comes into play with curriculum, right? So currently Derby uses bookworms, which Dr. Conway can talk more about, but that's not, I'm not saying it's a bad curriculum, but it's the most affordable curriculum on the market right now, right? Connecticut came out with a list of curriculums that were available under, I'm not going to get the program of Reading First or whatever it is, that new initiative.
Yes, that's a new thing that, yes.
So they said, okay, you can choose from these five curriculums, let's say. I think it might be more, a couple more than that. But all those curriculums cost money. Mm. So if you're Westport making the decision and you're Derby making the decision, are you going to make the decision based on the best curriculum for your district?
Or what's going to cost effective?
What's going to be cost effective, right? It's going to be on the state of Connecticut's list, but is it the best one?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily. And I'm not sure. I'm not saying that Bookworms is not. I'm not going to make that judgment because we've only had it a couple of years and they say you need 5 years to see how a program will grow. But I do think that Derby had to take that into an account. And I don't think any district should have to take that into an account.
I agree. I think that that should just be universal. Why mm-hmm. should any kid, depending on where they live, have a different, you know, mechanism of learning? A basic, I would think, and reading thing that we all should, that should be a skill that we should have, literacy.
Right.
So
why can't, no, this is never going to happen. I'm going to sound crazy, but why can't we all just pay into one fund in the state of Connecticut and then everybody has a fair playing field.
Right? Yeah. I mean, listen, I don't think that sounds crazy, Candy. That's a question that I have on my show all the time. I mean, because we were WACC started as the Bridgeport station. Yeah. And it's incredible to see the complete vast difference between the Bridgeport schools and all the surrounding communities, mm-hmm. Fairfield, Stratford, Easton, you know, I go on and on. It's vastly different. And I understand a city versus, but still, to your point, why should a student in Bridgeport be taught so vastly different than one in Fairfield or Stratford or Easton or Monroe or whatnot?
Not even 20 minutes away.
Correct.
Not even 20.
Literally, they share a town line. Yep.
We're not talking about Montgomery, Alabama and Derby, Connecticut. We're talking about, you know, 20 minutes difference.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, Candy, this is exactly why I love talking to people who are in the classroom who can give that kind of perspective, and it matters, and these are the conversations I care about on the show. And so I want to thank you so much for representing the teachers in Derby, and thank you for what you do for 24 years, almost 25. Thank you for being an amazing teacher at Irving Elementary School. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much also. Yeah. And I just want one crazy fact. The last 2 years in a row, I've had second graders in my classroom that I had their parents in second grade. So
really?
I'm now, I call myself a legacy teacher.
I love that. Well, I'm glad that we had such a legend here on the Diner Tour. Thank you so much, Candy.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me. We are going to be right back. Stop number 4 here at the Valley Diner for the Brown Roofing Melissa in the Morning Diner Tour after this.